All right, welcome to episode 46 of the Bobbycast, and with Aubrey Sellers. Hi, Aubrey. This is
Hello.
Weird. It's the first time we met, but I feel like we know each other.
I know.
Because I follow you on everything. And I guess the reason that I really like you is because your music was so different. And that's what kind of was like, I was like, wow, I really like her. And then I do this thing at the beginning of the year where I pick five artists that I just love. And it's called the Class of 2017. And it's like, I'm going to follow them and I'm going to see what they're doing. And I'm going to promote them, whatever. And you were one of the five that, yes. I was like, holy cow, this is really cool.
Thank you so much. That was like a huge surprise for me.
And the reason is, and I also want to run a couple Aubrey Sellers urban myths and see if they're true or not.
Okay.
But the reason was is because your album is just so different. And what I thought was cool about your album was it just feels like this is something that, and here, I'll just play something. I'll play Sit Here and Cry for a second while I talk about it. It feels like, that's not your record. Hold on. We have way too many buttons. We're just in my house here, right? It feels like this record is so different that you knew, I just me assuming, that this was either going to be huge, or it still had the ability to tank because it was so different. But it was just so different that you wanted to do it and it didn't matter.
Right.
Is there truth to that?
Yes, there's truth to that. I think, you know, my opinion is when something's different, it takes people a while to get familiar with it. If it's fresh to your ears, you know, it's not going to sound like anything else. And so everyone might not immediately pick up on it. And I think some people will need to hear it or be exposed to it multiple times before they get it. And some people get it right away because they came from the same, you know, stock that I did and listen to the same stuff that I did and get it right away. So it's definitely really different. And I was thinking about this earlier too. It's just like, it just doesn't matter. I'm going to do my thing. It's just the kind of music I make. You know what I mean? And I think it has potential to reach a wide audience and hopefully we'll just keep hacking away at it and see what happens.
So here's what I heard. So I hear that you go in and make the record, and this could be completely true. This isn't even on a note that I have. These notes are just normal stuff I don't even need. But what I heard was that you go into the studio and you're making this record, and there are no acoustic guitars on it. Is that right?
Right.
Not one.
Not one.
And that was kind of a fight where they were like, hey, maybe you should add some acoustic guitars. And you were like, I am not putting a single acoustic guitar on this record.
This is true. That's
so
very true.
What's that story?
You know, I'm a very all or nothing person, and I think when I made this record, I really wanted to go after it, and I wanted to make something that was representative of what I love. And I have a very country voice, and I write what I consider to be country songs, but I've been really inspired by Led Zeppelin and CCR and a bunch of, as far as sonically, the way those records sound. And so when I went in to make this record, you know, a lot of the things that I took as inspiration production-wise were all electric, and they had these, you know, trashy drums that song has and, you know, off those old Led Zeppelin records. And so I kind of just said, look, we're just going to do it. We're just going to go for it. We're not going to half-ass it. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to sound like this.
But, okay, I assume you didn't pay for the record, though.
Right.
And so if you're not paying for the record, it's rare that you get to make such a big decision about the record. Like, how it works is mostly you're you,
yep.
And you have your you influence,
right.
And they have their, because Warner is your record label.
Right.
At the time, you've been on a couple record labels.
Yeah.
But Warner's your current record label.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming they're weighing in going, hey, we also need something that kind of fits. Was there this kind of, well, no.
So Warner, you know, wasn't around when I made the record. No one was around when
really?
I made the record. No, yeah. I didn't have management. I didn't have anything when I made this record. I was completely making this with Frank, the producer, and, you know, funded by my publishing company. So that is how we made it. And he 100% believed in me and what I was doing and helped foster that. And that's why I love Frank as a producer, is because every artist that he works with, from Miranda to, you know, Jack Ingram to, you know, David Nail, whoever it is, the record sounds like the artist and not like Frank. And he's really good about fostering that in people and respecting their vision. And so there was a little bit of butting heads, but also a lot of respect. And I think he really got it. And that's why it turned out that way.
It's kind of a good news, bad news situation then. You're in and you get to do your own thing, but you don't have somebody like a big record label going, hey, we're involved too and we're investing in this actual project, but you got to make what you want, and I feel like that's just what you want to do. Like, I just feel like that's what you do. You just do what you want to do for the most part.
True.
Right?
The deal is that to me, making music is about making music. I do want to reach a wide audience. That's why I make it. That's why I signed to a record label. That's why, you know, I'm out here doing this. I want to reach as many people as possible. But at the same time, I believe in what I'm doing, and I think you have to. I think that my favorite artists that I respect, Steve Earle, Dwight Yoakam, people from that era who were mainstream artists but did something completely unique and on their own, those are my favorite artists. I respect them, you know, and I think they have long-lasting careers. And you can have, in this business, in this world today, you can have 4 number one songs and people still don't really know who you are, you know what I mean? Or you can have a slow build and maybe not have a hit song until your 3rd record, but you know, then you have a really long lasting career, you have an identity, and you have people that are going to come to your shows until you're retired, you know? And that's the kind of career I hope for myself. And I think any artist should.
What do you know about CCR? I grew up listening to oldies radio with my stepdad. So my stepdad and I would listen to Cool 95 because I grew up in a tiny town in Arkansas. And the first band I was ever in, we did all Creedence cover songs. And again, I was born in the 80s, so it wasn't like I wasn't even alive really when John Fogerty was here. And you bring up it's funny you bring up Creedence. I'm such a big CCR fan. And but also, in, like, if you're in Texas, that CCR also means Cross Canadian Ragweed.
Oh yeah.
So there's like the double. But when you talk about like the trashy drums and stuff, I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
I do. It's cool that you mentioned the old school stuff. Like, where is your old school music influence? Where does that come from?
It's funny because nobody in my family listened to rock, really. I mean, Frank Liddell, who's my stepdad, has a lot of...
You call your stepdad Frank?
Yes.
Because I call my stepdad Keith. That's not... Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that.
But, yeah, so, you know, he listened to some of that stuff, and I think that's why we connect a lot musically. But my mom, you know, listened to straight-up old-school country, and my dad listened to a lot of that, too, and then more pop. So for me, I kind of discovered this stuff on my own, you know,
you
part
so
of the internet.
You have so much music around you.
Yeah, I know.
It's almost like there are some kids who rebel. Like, if their dad's a doctor, they go and they, you know, shoot up and do heroin, Waffle House, and, you know, they go and just are trouble, and they go to jail. Because they want to rebel against that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're rebelling, but it's in a weird way of just a different... You're stylistically rebelling. Because let's go... Your stepdad produced your record. He's won a few ACMs, right? Didn't he produce Miranda record?
Yeah, they've won Album of the Year, like, every year.
So, Frank, your stepdad, is that weird to be in that environment, a professional environment, with basically the person you're related to?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think there's a little bit of a distance because he's not trying. It's like I was saying, I mean, that's why I respect him as a producer. I think that he doesn't try to intervene too much. He fosters and he helps and he develops and doesn't try to come in there and order you around and tell you what to do and what's right for
you.
We don't yell, but, you know, I mean, it was him that was like, you know, there was a song that we cut that didn't end up being on the album that he wanted to put an acoustic solo on, and that was that moment you were talking about where I was just like, no, it's not happening. Also know a little bit of how the business works, and, you know, I'm like, once you bring that in here, it's not going away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know. It's just kind of taking a stand and drawing your boundaries, and that was really important to me, and so he was really respectful of that, and I think he gets him excited more than anything. I mean, I think he gets excited to work with people who know what they want, you know, and I think that's his favorite type of artist to work with, from Miranda to all these people who've always kind of known what they wanted to sound like.
So your stepdad produces you. Your biological father is a massive songwriter.
Yeah.
He's written, list off some songs that he's written.
Don't You Want to Stay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, they're Sunny in 75, mm-hmm. I think was his latest one.
Good Night Kiss.
Yeah.
So he's written a bunch of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has his own style. Did he weigh in to the record?
He has lots of opinions. You know, and it's interesting. It's all three of my parents, if you could say that, have very unique, I don't know, they have different opinions. And I listen to them all, and then I kind of do, you know, I do what I feel in my heart.
And your mom, who's Leanne Womack, she doesn't sound like you. Your vocals sound very similar, but again, stylistically, it's like you made this record of, I'm going to kind of say the same, but I don't want to be anything like anybody else. It's like you rebelled, except in a nice way. You're like the nice rebel. You rebelled with your guitar tone instead of trouble.
That's really funny because... a lot of people say, like, they hear my record or they see me online or whatever it is, and they, you know, and I wear all black and I have this music and I'm really aggressive, and I think they expect me to be like, I don't know, rude.
Mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're actually pretty pleasant.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was the first time we met was when you walked in the house and you were like, hey, I like where you live. This is nice. And I was like, hey, good to see you. Yeah, cause your Instagram's all black.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, you're cool. You're cool. You're very, your hair's black. You dye your hair black, though, too,
thank
right?
Thank you. Yeah, it's dark brown naturally, but I go the extra mile and just go straight black.
And you have the tattoos.
Yes.
I'm seeing all the rebellion now. it's slowly starting to trickle out. You're wearing black. How much of this black clothes thing is, like, is all your outfit, your closet all black?
It is. You know, mostly. Also, I like white, gray. I like neutrals, but...
What do you... Emotionally, why do you think that is?
When I started dressing for stage or for shows, when I started playing 3 or 4 years ago, that was just what I picked every time. And then
did you like Twilight? Was that the reason?
I did watch all the Twilights. That's not why I dress like this. No, it's literally just what I thought looked the best, and then I kept buying more and more, and now that's kind of a thing now, and now I can't wear anything else. Seriously, I'll try. I'll put something else on and be like, I'm going to mix it up tonight, and I can't do it. It just... There's something... I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm OCD or...
Oh, definitely. No, you definitely are. Even your tattoo has no color. Like, it's not even just a thing. Even your permanent stuff has no color on it. I'm OCD on my tattoos because they're all perfectly aligned with each other. And so mine's not about color so much as it is everything's got to be in order. Yeah. And I'm very time OCD, too.
Yeah.
Mike Deese was like, hey, Aubrey's going to be over here. She just left. And it was like 6 minutes before we start. And I was like, oh, boy, she's going to be late. And I'm not going to. You're early.
Oh, God.
Do you live like a minute?
I was like, oh, no, is it too
early? Do you know why I know where you live? You can say who
creepy.
It is. I know, right? You can say who it is if you want, but I won't. But I was having dinner at your neighbor's house.
Oh, Dan.
Dan from Dan and Shay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was over there. We were eating and... Meet him and Abby and Lindsay, my girlfriend, were having dinner. And I was talking about you. I was like, hey, you know, we were doing this because they're also on Warner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, do you know Aubrey? And he was like, no, or she lives right there. And we like walked in the backyard. So you guys live over there by each other.
And then you came and peeked in my window. And then
you weren't home because I was like, is she home? Why don't we walk over there? Because I've never, until today, I'd never met you before. And I love your album. And I've been posting on Instagram. And I was like, hey, this is really cool. I like it because it's just different. And I feel like people that chase different things are okay with failure, and they're okay with continuing to fail as long as they get to fail on their terms. And there's also this understanding of failure that if you keep failing, and you're able to bounce back from it over and over again, that eventually you're going to hit.
That's kind of my philosophy, and I also don't see it as a failure. You know, I see it as a slow build. That's how I look at it. You know what I mean?
What if none of your songs make it on the radio? let's just play that game. What if none of your songs? Let's say your new single, I believe, is Liar Liar.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's Liar Liar. Listen, I'm a fan.
Thanks.
But let's act like I'm not. Kay. And I'm like, I'll be like every other programmer in country music.
Okay.
This song right here, it just don't sound like the other song. Yeehaw. And it's a woman. And I don't like my woman. I don't like women's on the radio. And it's just, it's too bluesy. It ain't country. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I say what I said to you earlier was that, look, just because it's different doesn't mean people won't connect with it. And it may take time, and I think you have to find those people who believe in it. And honestly, you know, Eric Church didn't have a hit until, you know, a few albums in. Miranda didn't have a number one song until her third album. I mean, people don't realize that now because they're the biggest stars in country music. But I think if you look at what they did, it was stick to their guns and do what they believe in. And they built an identity for themselves, and they were true to who they were. And that's my goal, and, you know, I hope people connect with it. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but I'm not going to change what I'm doing just to take the easy route. You know what I mean?
Why are you so angry in your songs? Hey, listen to this. They're all so angry. Aubrey's so angry.
Liar, liar.
Hey.
Man, that's a relatable story.
Oh, no. Listen, my jams are angry and sad songs. Like, I love them, and I tell you, I mean, I listen to this album. I can always tell if I like an album if I save over 5 songs. First of all, I think the entire album process is so antiquated now of making that much music and putting it out at once because that many songs don't really. I think John Mayer nailed it with what he's doing with putting out 4 songs, and then four songs, and then four songs, and here's the project. And so he did that wave one, wave two. He's about to release the rest of the record because I get to sit and I get to really take in the four songs instead of having 14 songs put at me. Mm-hmm. And I got to figure out, like, I love Ed Sheeran. He just put out a record. Too many songs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Mike, how many songs on that record? Like 73? 17. Like a box set? Like the Ed Sheeran box set? And it just all kind of gets lost, and I need time to sit with songs. I need, and so I think...
I'm sorry I've disappointed
no,
you.
No, it's not that. I was going to tell you. You have 10 songs on this record? 11
There's
songs? 12
14.
Songs?
14.
Okay. I didn't save that many. I'll be honest with you. I think I saved 9, and I don't ever save more than 4 on records. And that's how I know I like a record.
That's
I saved 9 on 14 songs. How brutally honest is that, Mike? That I told you I deleted 5 of her songs. I didn't delete it. They just are not in, because I keep a playlist, like, because I fly all the time. Oh, my God. I'm on airplanes all the time.
Yeah.
And so I have, I'm looking at it now. I have 9 songs of yours that still make the cut. Congratulations.
Like Thank you so much. That's good.
That's a success. Man, let me tell you what I love. Let me tell you. First of all, I love Sit Here and Cry. And I know that was your last song, right? Your last radio song?
Yep.
They screwed up. I didn't even know that was a single. No one even told me. I'd been playing it. You know, I blame your people. I didn't really think that's so good. But I lose my mind when it comes to you. How did you feel about this song whenever they put it out? Did you love it? Was this your first choice or no?
Yeah, I think that it's a really good representation of my sound as a whole and how I write songs. And it's high energy, which is what my show's like. And
why don't you think this worked? Like, really? Because my answer is that people on radio listen and go, I need to hear exactly the same thing over and over again.
That's part of it. Yeah. There's a lot. There's so many parts to it. You know, I mean, there's politics. There's restructuring. There's, you know.
Say it.
Then you've got people resistant to change, and there's a million things.
It's like people are resistant to change, so they cannot avoid it.
Right, exactly. And I think that's the truth.
You have to be such a, I call it the butterfly kisses effect. Are you familiar with Butterfly Kisses?
I mean, the song?
Yes, that's exactly it. Now, here's what happened with Butterfly Kisses.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you know, and you probably don't, but I grew up in a tiny town in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so, my grandma played a ton. Like, I didn't even grow up with current country music. I grew up with old, like, Andy Griffith gospel records.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Arkansas, so Johnny Cash wasn't just God to country. To people in Arkansas, like, he was ours. So, and then, as I got older, I started listening to the radio and I'd listen to country. And I would listen to a lot of alternative stuff in the 90s. And then I was a hip-hop kid. And I've worked in all these radio formats, too. I just love music. Yeah. Oldies, I was talking about. Like, I love, you know, CCR. So when I was working in pop, there was this Butterfly Kisses song that sounds like nothing on the radio. Nothing. It's a terrible song of some old man talking about giving his girl a kiss. And nobody wanted to play it because it sounded nothing like anything else. And the song, but people kept buying it and kept buying it. And they had, it was such an effect that radio stations had no other option but to freaking play Butterfly Kisses.
Yeah.
And here's Butterfly Kisses by Bob Carlyle. And I call, you have to Butterfly Kisses something. You got to make the people, tell the people that are making the decisions how good it is.
That's funny.
It's funny that you knew the song though. And it's kind of emotional. Like, I like it. Now I do.
Here we go.
Oh, come on. I'll give you $1 if you know who sings it.
You just said it.
I didn't say it.
You didn't?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. Did I say it?
No. Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said it.
Did I say it? Bob Carlyle? Oh. There's two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven. And she's daddy's little girl. You know the song, Mike?
What year did this come out?
I have no idea.
I don't know this.
You don't know it?
No.
Nobody. You know. Oh, you want to know another good one? And I'm just comparing this to your sound because, again, nothing sounds like
exactly
you.
Like-
no. Nothing sounds like you, and I love it. And that's why I think your music's fantastic. First of all, I like, sonically, I like it.
Thank you.
But I like it that it sounds like nothing else. Yep. And there's something to that because everybody always tells me I suck, and it's just because I don't sound like, and I kind of do suck, but I also sound like nobody else, and I've always been told that. When I was doing sports radio, I wasn't good enough, I didn't sound enough to be a sports guy. When I was doing pop radio, you're too country, your accent's too thick. I go over to country radio, it's like, you don't wear a cowboy hat? It's like, where in the world do I fit in? I have nowhere to fit.
I feel your pain.
I got nowhere to go,
I feel
Aubrey.
You. I'm too rock for country, too country for rock and roll. I feel you.
I'm going to play another song here, and this song was a song, the same thing. Nobody wanted to play this song, and it just kept selling. Don't look at the screen, because I like to surprise you, because now you see it.
I can't read it.
Are you blind?
Well, are you sitting at a bad angle? I am kind of blind and also a bad angle.
This song, and it's such a hit now, nobody would play this song. And then all of a sudden, people kept buying it, and slowly it would trickle. See if you know the song.
Hey, are you serious?
Train. Hey, Soul Sister. Huge. Nobody would play it. And this was...
That's so annoying.
It sounded like, at the time, it sounded like nothing else on the radio. It was all boy bands, and it was all pretty, really...
Well, I mean, when you hear Miranda Lambert now, it sounds familiar to you, but back in the day, she came out with Kerosene, and people were like, what the...
It's so angry.
Yeah, like, is happening, you know? And now that's her trademark, and I think, you know, it's weird. I just read a book where they were talking about Hey Ya, the Outkast song, how it was the same deal. People were like, what is this? We don't want to play it. They somehow got people to kind of sandwich it in between two familiar songs to, I guess... keep people from tuning out. Yeah. And then it became one of the biggest songs.
It was a monster. What book are you reading where you don't read Outkast Hey Ya? Like, what? Mike, you know that book? You read that book?
It was called Habit. It was actually about habits and how what we're drawn to and how habits are created.
What did you learn from that book? Because I like to read.
I learned that.
You learned that Hey Ya is good.
It's interesting because this book talked about how people crave familiarity, but they also like surprise. So they don't want things that sound exactly the same. They want something that's catchy, but sounds a little different to them, you know? And so they might be resistant if something is too different and they haven't heard it, haven't been exposed to it enough. And I'm reading another book that's basically saying the exact same thing. So
what's that book called?
Starting to catch on here. It's called Hitmakers. It's about how anything, a movie or a song or anything now becomes a hit and why they break through and how they catch on.
Are you a pretty cerebral person? Are you an intellectual?
I love to read. Yeah? I love to read, yes. I'm reading a book constantly.
That's cool. Yeah. No one ever comes in and says that, do they?
Never.
Most people are like, I can't read. And we're like,
I barely got out of school.
Let's keep that off here. So what's a day like for you? Because you're out and you just finished with Miranda, right?
Yeah.
So you would go out on the weekends.
Yeah, so a day on the road is... you know, wake up kind of late, go to lunch, start getting ready for soundcheck, or maybe go visit a station during the day, and then, you know.
Do they do this? Let me sidetrack for a second. Every radio station you go to, are they like, I love it, and we're going to play it? And then you leave, and they never do.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. That's pretty
much. They're like, you know what? Aubrey, I think this is so different, and it's really going to cut through, and I'm going to add it, and it's going to be.
They don't say, hey, I mean, some people did, and then they did add it. I didn't have anybody say they were going to add it and then not add it.
But when they added it, they really play it? Because you can add a
right,
song
exactly.
and not play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally.
Give it a spin at 1 in the morning.
It's like I was saying to you. I mean, my goal is to be exposed as much as possible. Not necessarily to go to number one, even though that's a great way to be exposed. But I just want people to hear it, you know, whether it's whatever station it's on and whatever. You know what I mean? I just want to connect with people. And hopefully they can hear these stories and hear something that they connect with in it. And so, you know. That's the goal.
So angry. Let me talk about Blue Apron for 1 second. So about Blue Apron, it's all about the ingredients and it's all about the convenience. It's all about the quality. It's all about how good it tastes. Let me explain Blue Apron to you. You get online, blueapron.com/BobbyCast. You check out the menu. By the way, if you put BobbyCast, first 3 meals free. Yep, free shipping too. So you see all the menu items there at Blue Apron. You're like, well, that looks good. Send that to the house. It comes right to your house in a box. There's a box. Has all the ingredients in it, and it's all pre-portioned, and for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You're going to look like Chef Boyard Bones there or Chef Boyard Sellers or whatever. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you, customize them. You're going to love it because you get to cook it on your schedule, whatever you want. BlueApron.com/BobbyCast. Incredible home cooked meals. Blue Apron, don't wait. Again, BlueApron.com/BobbyCast. You're going to love Blue Apron. At least try it. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Okay, so here, I want to see. How about this? I like this song here. This song's called Losing Ground. Is this a sad song?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I know it is, Aubrey. I know all your songs are sad or angry. Yeah.
Landslide beneath my feet, dirt falling under me. I've got nowhere to go.
Did you ever think about doing the, and maybe you did at first. I don't know your early story, because again, I was just introduced to you by finding your music on YouTube and going, this is interesting. And then I went and I downloaded it on iTunes and I was like, wow, I'm going to keep 9 of these songs is what I remember. I was like, I'm going to delete this one, but I like this one and this one. And so I don't know a lot of the back stuff. Yeah. And so did you ever think, because Jacob Dylan would not say he was Bob Dylan's son forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try to avoid it as much as possible.
I would assume you would want to, yeah. right? And your dad is a famous songwriter, but he's not known really right. outside of the Nashville bubble.
Yeah.
First of all, did you ever feel like going the easy route and going, I'm Aubrey Womack?
No way.
Okay, the opposite. Did you ever think about having a whole different name than Sellers?
No, I felt like no one would know. I mean, my dad did have a record deal, and some people know who he is from his music, but, you know, not as much as his songwriting. And so, really, people say my name, they have no idea. Then a lot of people hear my voice, and then they make the connection. Or they Google, and that's how they find out.
Do you hear it in your voice, though, and your mom?
Yes, like, definitely.
Because I see my sister, and people are like, you look just... I don't think we look anything alike. But everyone's like, you look just alike. And I'm like, I don't see it, and everyone says it. But you can hear your mom and your voice similar.
Yeah. I can hear even a little bit of my dad and some of his... The way he sings. He's a good singer, but I think it's different. It's not exactly the same, but it's definitely similar. And the vocally, that's the most similarity I have to anything music-wise, you know what I mean?
When you walk into an interview, is the first question always about your freaking mom? I love your mom, by the way. But I mean, as someone with it, is it always like, hey, so Aubrey Sellers is here, so talk about your mom.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, you got to want to pull your hair out, right? Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like, I get it. But people want to talk about that's the story to them, you know? And I hope that there's more of a story once they hear the music and hear that it's not the same. And that's kind of how I direct the conversation usually is. Yeah, you know, I'm proud of my mom and I'm doing my
own
thing.
1 to 10, how annoyed do you get when someone goes there immediately?
I'm so used to it at this point.
I would say 10.
I'm used to it. But, you know, I mean, I rebelled against music. I always knew I wanted to do music, but I did a bunch of acting. I went to acting school. That was kind of my thing apart from my family.
Did you move away?
Nobody knew, you know what I mean? Like, nobody cared. Yeah, I went to acting school, Strasburg in L.A.
Look at you.
And
did you want? Like, what was the goal here? Like film acting?
Yeah. And I actually have an agent now. I've been auditioning again.
Really?
Yeah.
Vampire parts? All black?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be the new Twilight remake. They're already remaking it.
If they make you wear something like pink, you're going to... You do this with the whole acoustic guitar thing. You're not going to allow it.
Well, it's so interesting because I'm really introverted. And acting for me was... I was less shy when acting because I didn't have to be myself. And it took me so long to get comfortable on stage as myself singing. That was way, way harder for me. And so... You know, acting is like you're not being yourself. It's easier to do that. You know what I mean?
I do, because it's really how I live my life is through microphones. And I wrote a book and I talk about that in my book. It's like I'm terrible at real life, any sort of real life communication.
Yeah, me too.
Terrible. But if you put a microphone in front of me, if it's the radio show, or if I'm doing stand-up comedy, or if I'm out with my band, comedy band, playing on the weekends, like I am the most fun person to be around while I'm on. When I'm not on, I got nothing to say. I don't make myself vulnerable at all.
Yeah.
But when I'm on, like, it's party time. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
When I'm off, I got nothing. I'm scared to put myself out there a bit.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I mean, yeah. It's interesting because I'm very introverted, but maybe you relate to this too. I feel like I want to connect with people. And experience that connection. And so that's why I put myself out there with music and go on the road and things that normally are not a typical for an introvert to do. Get up and do stand-up comedy. Are you kidding me? Like, do you consider yourself introverted?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Every ounce of me until it... I'm introverted 30 seconds. Mike, before I go on stage, what am I doing?
In the back.
In the back, slumping over. Like, and I love doing it, but I got not... I'm just not good with people. I'm not good with people until it's time to be good with people, and I can turn on this.
I feel you.
This part of me that's me.
Yeah.
But it's a part where it's the absolute truth, but it doesn't feel real.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like I'm not being somebody that I'm not, but I don't feel like I'm vulnerable because I'm behind this. Yes. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. It's not my real freaking name.
Well, you're not having to reveal every part of you. You're revealing one part of you.
Yeah, I mean, except
for you know what I'm saying?
Except pretty much the old scrotum. It's all out there, right, Mike?
And even then.
Even then, sometimes it gets dicey. So you'd say you're an introverted person?
Yes. But it's like I said, I mean, why are we in this business? Because we're introverted.
Here's why we're in the business. This is my opinion. We all have something. Do you spend any time in therapy? Because I have.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I bought my therapist a car for sure 1 year. I feel like we're in this business because there's something that's missing in us. And we are looking to find it through this group of people. Some sort of support. For me, I think it was, I need to feel love from something. I'm not allowing it from anyone close to me because I'm just messed up. I never got it as a kid. And so I search for it from people that I don't know. So I go out on stage, and if they laugh, I feel loved.
Right.
If they clap and they cheer, I feel like that's and I get this. Mm-hmm. And I love it while I'm on stage, or I love it when I'm behind a microphone. But then you go back to the hotel room or the house, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, it feels so.
Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier, is I crave the connection. That's why I want my music to reach people. That's why I want to, I like
that's
to act.
Why your songs are so sad and angry. I get it now, Aubrey. I get all of it.
That's why I connected with acting. It was a way to express different emotions and different characters and different, you know, yeah, it's like a way to connect with people that you're not getting it maybe in your normal introverted life.
How do you do, because I have a girlfriend. We've been together at this point, for 9 months or so. Do you talk about your personal life? I have no idea.
Yeah,
do you?
I mean, sure.
Whatever. Are you have a boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
And are you good at that?
Yeah, I mean, we get along really well. He's pretty introverted. He plays music with me. He plays in my band.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We're together 24/7.
Oh, my God. I don't even know how you would.
We get along really well. We do. He's not as introverted as I am, but I think he totally gets it.
Let me ask you this question, though, because I don't even care who it is or what he does, but you're his boss.
Yeah. Yes.
You're your boyfriend's boss.
Yeah. I know.
But that's an interesting dynamic.
It's funny, too, because I've been writing with him for the first time recently. We've just been, you know, he's amazing. Amazing guitar player, songwriter, really talented. One of those super, super creative people, you know. He just focuses on creating the music constantly, and he's my band leader, and I really respect his opinion, but there's definitely times where I have to be the boss.
But you also pay him,
right?
And go, hey, it's time for a raise, or it's not, or
yeah.
Wow.
I'll tell you, he's probably like the chillest, most easygoing person I've ever known, so it makes it really easy.
Are you a type A personality?
I don't know. It's weird because I, like, he's a super relaxed to where he's, like, late to everything, and I'm the opposite. As you know, I've showed up early. Like, I'm always, like, I'm, like, want to be there. I get anxious if I'm not there. But I'm not necessarily, like, to me, okay, making plans, I, like, makes me want to throw up. Like,
I'm not a plan maker either, yeah. Really. But I'm a type A where I'm going to be the leader. The ship may go down. But I'm going to captain this thing.
And we're going
to crash into an iceberg, or we're going to win the race. But I'm going to be the captain.
It's funny because, yeah, I think if you ask anyone that I work with, I'm like, I guess if that's what a type A is, then yes. Because I am so detail-oriented, so, you know, let's do this, paying attention to everything. You know what I mean? Whether it's creative or business or anything, I'm like in there.
Can you separate with him and go, okay, music off?
I think it's such, okay, he grew up, like, his parents played bluegrass, so he grew up around music, so we have a similar background that way, too, and I think that it's just so ingrained in us. It's not really something that you turn off, necessarily, but we don't have a problem with it. It works out pretty well.
What do you listen to? Like, you know, I was just looking at my list of the last three songs. Like, I have the Ed Sheeran, I'm going to tell you this, I didn't keep as many Ed Sheeran songs as I did your record.
Ooh.
And I love the Ed Sheeran album. I think he's got some fantastic stuff. I think he tries to do like 7 Thinking Out Louds though on that record. I'm like, dude, get over it. Like, I love Ed Sheeran. Love it. But I'm like, how many times are you going to try Thinking Out Loud on this record? I mean, every song is like, when your eyes are done, you'll get some before. Supermarket flowers from my girl next door. And I'm like, dude. So that record is one of the last ones that I've really played a lot. My girlfriend put out a record that's really good this weekend, so I listened to that a lot. And I like a bunch of hip-hop stuff because I work out. I don't work out the country. I can't work out the country music.
Yeah, that would be awful.
I can't. I just, there's really, maybe like some Keith Urban where the blacktop ends, because there's really, or Brothers Osborne Ain't My Fault. Like, that's about it. Yeah. Inside my work. So what do you listen to for fun right now?
It's so funny because I'm really boring because I listen to the same things over and over and over again. And
but nothing new excites you when it comes out? Like, I love the new John Mayer stuff. Him and Garth are my favorite all-time life artists.
I'm trying to think of the newest album that I've downloaded. Okay, the last album that I heard and I was like, holy crap, this is just cool, and I'd never heard anything like it, was the new Tame Impala, the newest Tame Impala record.
You're way too cool. How do you know how to spell that? I don't even know what word you're saying. I must share it that way.
Tame. Impala.
Tame.
Impala.
Impala. Okay, let me see what this is.
Okay, wait, no, you gotta let me pick the song.
Holy cow, there's 95 million listens to one of these songs?
Yeah, play that first one.
Hold on a minute. The less I know, the better.
Yeah, play that one.
Tame Impala. Okay. They're very cool looking. Like, they haven't had showers in about 6 days. Kind of retro there.
It's fun. It's like the grooviest stuff ever.
I should go skating to this in 1978, yeah. I feel like. Is this the lead singer female or male?
Male.
Where are these people from? I've never even heard of
them. I think this he's Australian, but I'm making that up,
he is?
I think.
Australian.
He is?
Oh, yes.
Wow, you are so cool.
This is look how many plays it has. I'm not the only person who knows this.
No, it says here. I can look at them. 94 million of the other plays were by Aubrey Sellers. Wow. Listen to the related artists here. Related artists to Tame Impala. Pond.
Never heard of him.
Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
I've heard of them.
You have?
Yeah.
They have to be terrible. I have to listen to Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
I've not listened to them, really.
Okay, here we go. Let's listen to it. Okay. This is so good at being in trouble. It sounds exactly like Tame Impala. Is this the same lead singer?
Wait. I do know that somebody in this band is either in Tame Impala or in another band. That's the only thing I know.
I think you're just cool. Aww. And that, no, that's not always a compliment.
Dang it.
I just mean like, hey, you're real cool. Like, cool can hurt you a little bit.
Man.
Because, like, I'm going to say this. These are the last songs that I've downloaded. This Michelle Branch, Hopeless Romantic. Like, I love Michelle Branch. She did this with one of the Black Keys, and he produced it. When I should run for my life. She lives here now, and they live here, and they're dating.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Got me on my knees, you got me crawling. Love is all. Well, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
But it's also Michelle Branch, who was like pop radio queen.
Totally.
So like, I was a fan already. But that sounds like Rotten Impala. What do you call it? What's her name?
Rotten. Tame.
Tame Impala. How about this is another song. This is it's my girlfriend's song. She just puts out Waiting on You. And this is cool because it's kind of bluesy too.
Let's hear it.
And you know, this is not normal country.
Yeah.
What's not to like about this new love thing? Midnight kiss, the slow dances in the rain. But you.
And she's going to get a bit what you got. Like, it doesn't sound like everything else.
Right, beating fast.
But it's okay. But she's like, screw it. I'm just going to put out what I want to put out. Yeah.
Where this is going, baby, I can't say. Every time you leave me, I just want you to say that
it's bluesy, and it, you know, I get so mad at radio, and I'm in radio. I literally have the biggest country morning show in the history of country morning shows, and I get so mad at radio. I shouldn't be getting mad at radio. I get so mad. And then, here, I'm going to play a good Ed Sheeran song.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's cool. I like her.
I want to hear the... wait, she just put out an EP, right?
Mm-hmm, on Friday, right?
Yep.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's mediocre, you know.
Shut up.
You're probably... It's no... Tame Impala? Not Gay Impala. Tame Impala? Yeah. This is a jam from Ed Sheeran here. It's called What Do I Know?
Ain't got a soapbox I can stand upon. God gave me a stage, a guitar, and...
You like Ed Sheeran?
Yeah.
Not really. Most people like Ed Sheeran go, yeah, but not, well, yeah. Not
I
really.
Mean, no, I've listened. I mean, you know, I don't listen to him regularly.
Missing out.
I'll paint a picture, let me set the scene. I know when I have children.
Do you have anything that you like? Because for me, because there's a song I'm about to play you. And I didn't want to tell you who it is. Don't look at my screen, okay? Don't look at my screen. Because I love the blues.
Yeah.
Okay, I love the blues. And I heard this song and I was like, jeez, this song is so good. And I'm like, listen to the pain right there. Have you ever heard this song?
No. Is it new? Is this John Mayer?
It is not John Mayer. It does sound John Mayer-ish. But I'm
Do you think about me?
You can hear the pain right there, right? Can you name the person?
Wait, let me hear a little more.
And do you? Do you feel the same way?
I don't.
And do you? Do you remember how it felt?
Justin Bieber.
Who?
Justin Bieber.
Basically.
Who is it?
Shawn Mendes.
Oh.
He's like 12.
Listen to me.
It sounded like one of those guys.
But he plays guitar. Like, he's a real life artist. Like, that really makes music. But since he started on Vine and is so young, he doesn't get that respect. Because they put up a...
Did he start on Vine?
Yeah, he was a Vine kid. A 6 second Vine kid.
Wow. I miss Vine.
Were you a Viner?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was too quick for me.
I thought it was fun.
It was too... I like Snapchat. I don't like Insta stories as much as I do Snapchat stories. Insta stories are too long
really?
For me.
Yeah.
Although, it's annoying because all your Instagrams that I've seen are black and white. Do you do all black and white all the time?
Not all the time. Most of the time.
I don't think I've seen any color. Like, that's got to be annoying, right? You have to live this black and white lifestyle.
Well, that's
now.
Why...
Like, come on.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. And it's the same thing as my clothes. Like, most of the time, that's just what I like.
You Every actually have a nice while. Personality.
Well, you can be black and white and nice.
Yeah. I'm just... this was good. I like this that you did. Because I love Coldplay. And you guys got into a van. There are a lot of you that got into the van.
I love Coldplay.
And you did Green Eyes, which is one of my favorite Coldplay songs. I think it was from A Rush of Blood to the Head. Yeah, the record.
Yes.
Is that right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Green Eyes.
I played this on my show. I thought it was so good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. And the video was in black and white, believe it or not.
It was.
Anyone who tried to deny you must be out of their mind.
So that was good because I love Coldplay.
Green eyes, you're the one that I wanted to find.
Ever seen them live?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
Change your life.
I have, you know, they're one of the few bands I have every single record. I know every song. I'm obsessed and I've never seen them.
They are so good live.
I can't wait. I'm going to see them obviously at some point.
When they came out, Coldplay came out and they were like life changing. And then it turned into, if you like Coldplay, you suck because they're lame. And now they're cool again. It's been a weird thing. It's hard for an artist to bounce
so
back.
I get so annoyed when people are weird about Coldplay because they're not cool or whatever. I'm like, they're just good. Get over it.
They're fantastic. I love Coldplay, but
so
I also
good.
Love sad songs.
Yeah, I love sad songs, and I also love melodies, and he's like king of melody, and
he's
voice.
Such a weirdo. You never met him since you've seen him. I've met him. He's such a weirdo.
Really?
And the weirdest people are all... Creative people have to be different to be creative. So they're also different in person.
Yeah.
And he's one of the weirdest humans. But it's just fantastic. I love Coldplay, man. Who do you in town? Who are your friends that I would know?
My cats.
Interesting. Like, who would you call that I would know just from
that
like
you would know?
Not maybe not even personally, but like that we'd hear. Who's your closest friend that's an artist that has a deal?
This is difficult.
Yeah. Because I don't have any friends either, so.
I mean, I have all my close friends. I was born in Nashville, so all my close friends are just people I went to school with when I was 11.
Did you grow up, were any of those kids, these Nashville kids, are any of them like making it now?
All doing different things. So I had a friend who now is in LA and she's like a super successful dancer. She's Jason Derulo. Right now she's Jason Derulo's backup dancer. She used to be Chris
Brown.
That's
cool.
Yeah, she's doing that. I'm trying to think of somebody I know that does music that was, you know, I don't think I know anyone that's doing music, but a few people like that who are doing some cool things.
What's it like being a kid in Nashville whenever you have a famous parent? Does that suck?
You know, I was homeschooled more than I went to school.
Oh, okay.
So
that explains a lot of this.
It's interesting. When I went to school, that's so mean.
My favorite part is she just kept going. She didn't stop at all. She was going with the story.
When I went to school for the first time, well, for the first time as like a, you know, not a preschooler, I try to hide who my mom was. Like, I wouldn't let her, like, drop me off or come inside anywhere. And then somebody saw her picking me up one day, a mom, and, like, told her daughter, and then everyone knew. And then it was, like, I was so upset. Like, I didn't want anyone to know. I was going to keep it a secret as long as humanly possible.
Was it because you're the normal kid who just embarrassed their parents, or you just wanted your own identity?
Yeah, I think I wanted my own identity. And it's like you're saying, it's like everywhere you go, then people are just like, wow, that's so cool. And that's all they want to talk about. And yep. It's like, geez. You know what I mean? Especially as a kid, you're like, I just want to, like, live my life.
I feel bad for my son, and I don't even have any kids yet. But when I do, oh, can you imagine?
Yeah. They're going to be like, whoa.
Yeah, they're going to be like, you want to talk about me all the time? It's like, oh, no. Listen to this here. This is the song now. And listen, podcasts live for years and years. So this 5 years from now, who knows? But this song, Liar, Liar, is the one that is going to radio now. You feel good about this? How do you feel about it? Like, really? How do you feel about Liar, Liar going on the radio? Speak from the heart.
I mean, I think my opinion on this song is this is the song that I get the most people coming to me at shows
yep.
and saying that they relate to it. And that's all I have to say about it. And I think that it's a relatable thing that lots of people experience. And hopefully they'll connect with that if they even get the chance to hear it.
And that could be an issue. But, you know, it's just... It's why doing the, like you did Coldplay, it's why doing those songs matter. A lot of artists don't want to do covers because they're like, this is just me theory. It's like, they're like, I don't want to do covers because I have my own music.
Right.
And I'm like, that's great. And if that's really how you feel, fantastic, stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby theory is, do a cover that makes everybody go look at it. And then you know what else they might see
yeah.
is the stuff that you're struggling to get out there.
Totally.
And then once you have 4, 5, 6, 7 hits, you don't do covers anymore. You're good.
I crave doing covers, honestly. Songs that I've loved or I hear, it may not even be a song that I listen to all the time, but I hear it and I just immediately hear a way that I would want to do it. You know what I mean? And I think it's also a great way to let people know where you came from. You know what I mean? And what you listened to and what inspired you and also show how you can take a song and make it your own. And I think that shows a little bit about who you are as an artist, you know?
So are we going to get into any Tame Impala? What's
the name? Tame Impala songs.
It is Tame Impala.
Tame Impala songs are all about 7 minutes long, and they have about 1,000 words. And I am terrible at remembering lyrics, so probably not.
When you open, because are you the first act on the Miranda tour? Or you were just finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Who was on the tour? It was you,
me, Old Dominion, and Miranda.
Okay, so you go out as the first act. It's awesome and frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
One, you're on the Miranda tour. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. She's A-list.
Yes.
You're the first act. Like, people are like shuffling into their seats, nor do they know your music. And so it's got to be harder to even get their attention, right? When you're the first act up.
I felt on this tour, and it, you know, this is the thing too. First of all, my music doesn't identically match anyone, but I think as far as a mainstream country tour, that's the best one I could get. I mean, they're coming to see a woman who plays electric guitar and sings songs from her heart. And that's also what I do, even though it's different. And she had a pit in the front, which made it a lot more familiar to me because I'm used to playing rock clubs. And so I've got people right up on the stage, and the pit was always full and the room was always pretty full. And it felt like people were listening. And, you know, you've always got those nights where you've got people are kind of like, woo, you know, and you just kind of work through it. But I think I would say 90% of the shows were amazing. It was awesome.
How did you, because the thing about people, you know, you're on tour with somebody and sometimes you don't even really spend any time with the other people on tour because everybody's kind of split up and you're sound checking at different times and they're coming in while you're going out.
Yeah.
Did you spend any real time with her?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with this tour was it was pretty short in comparison to some longer tours that take a year, you know what I mean? So, yes, and I've known Miranda for a long time, too, so...
Oh, I forget your stepdad produced the records.
Yeah.
What does she tell you?
It's funny, because I remember telling her about my record before it came out, and she, you know, I said, well, it's really different. That's all I told her. And, you know, and I said, I don't know how people are going to react, and she just said, you know what? Kind of like same for me, basically. You know what I mean? When she came out, same deal. It's like not doesn't sound like anything else. You have no idea. And she basically said, stick to your guns. And those, you know, like I said, those are the artists I respect. And she listened to, you know, Steve Earle and some of those artists that I love too. So I think that, you know, to watch her every night doing that and now playing arenas when I've seen her play, you know, little places in Texas.
But that's who plays arenas. People that do something different and make it pop. Like, well, look at Arena X. Those are the people that change the culture of whatever it is.
That's what I say about having a long-lasting career versus you can have 5 number one songs and you spend your life opening for other artists and haven't built any hard ticket sales up, and then nobody really... There's no identity. There's no base for you, you know? And then you're reliant on radio singles to keep your career going, and once that's gone, you don't have anything, you know? And that would be my worst fear, you know? And I'm sure somebody who's having a ton of success right now in 5 number one songs doesn't care about any of that.
But that's not true, 'cause there are artists that I can, and I won't answer their names, but I know like about 3 of them that have many number ones, and they can't get recognized walking down the street.
Yeah.
Because people don't care about, they just, the songs are good, but there's really nothing of to them.
Right.
And so, you know, and they live a night, but they're, you know, they're like, what can I do? What do I know? I'm a freaking radio DJ. But, you know, you're right. And then, man, I tell you, Eric Church, they listen to his album cuts. You ever been to Eric Church show?
I've not seen him live.
Oh, my God.
No.
And I can't even say that I'm a huge Eric Church fan. Mm-hmm. I like his songs, but they're, because Eric Church fans are so diehard that if you call yourself one, you need to be like an Eric Church fan. Like, you better punch somebody in the face.
Yeah.
If they insult your dude.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the dude, like, who, when he goes and plays 3 hours and he's playing album cuts, the crowd's singing every album
cut. That's what I'm saying, man. That's the stuff.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Same with Miranda. She's playing songs that maybe, literally, I get, somebody, like, a radio person might call it a failure, you know, but then you've got the entire audience singing along, like you're saying, every word, and you're like, where's the failure? Like, you know, people connected with it. Mm-hmm.
It's like Tame Impala. Like, I just can't get enough of that. You know, Sam, Mike? That's not like something you'd listen to. Mike listens to punk. And this stuff he listens to is terrible.
Is.
He listens to the worst music.
It's horrible.
I love it.
It all sounds like the guy's holding his nose and he's 34 and he's whining about being grounded. Like, that's every song that Mike D listens to. It's always like, my mom won't let me go outside anymore. I'm like, dude, you're 30 years old. Like, you should be out of the basement. But he loves that stuff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it is total crap. And they, like, spit on each other at concerts, right?
They do. Like, and just blast it super loud.
Where did my ears hurt? Oh, we went to it was Melissa Etheridge.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend and Cam and Orianthi.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Orianthi is?
I've heard. She's like plays guitar.
Yes, mm-hmm. Crazy guitar player.
Yeah.
And it was so loud. I was miserable. The whole show was like my ears were hurting. I couldn't enjoy it. It was just not fun.
Why?
Because it was so loud. And we were sitting out front at a table and it was miserable for me, right? And I love Melissa Etheridge, you know. Come to my window! And I was like, I know all the words, but I couldn't get it because it was just like painful in my head. And so I look over at Mike D. He's just like smiling in heaven, just loving it. And he was like, dude, all I need is somebody to spit on me. And I felt right at home, like one of my concerts. What's your favorite band, Mike?
Lemuria.
Ever heard of them?
What?
Lemuria?
Yeah.
Lemuria?
That's what this tattoo is. That's,
no.
What is your... You have a
feather.
A feather for what?
For aesthetic value.
it has no real meaning?
No, I mean, my first tattoo is behind my ear. It's a sparrow, which is a songbird. And then I just have always felt, I guess, a connection with birds. Isn't that unique and cool?
Probably like a crow.
Exactly. No, and that's why I got it. It's not really. I just liked it.
I'm rooting for you, Aubrey.
Thank you.
I know I don't know what that means in the grand scheme of things, but
woo!
Like, I'm rooting for you because I... Not only do I enjoy your music, I enjoy how you do your music.
Thank you.
And it's just just like, I'm just going to do it how I do it. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, I'm going to keep doing it how I do it. That's just it. And I can respect that because, man, if I fail, I have failed a lot just trying to do it how I do it. And then eventually it catches. And it's going to catch for you.
You're
too good for it not to catch. It's just, when are people going to catch up to you? That's how I feel.
I can't see the future, but all I know is if you keep writing songs from your heart, somebody will hear it and connect with
it. I can see the future. I can. And so eventually people are going to catch up to what you're doing. And who knows where it'll be. But eventually people are going to catch up. And they're going to be like, dang, I remember listening to Bobby in that podcast. He was right.
Thank you so much.
Called Just to Be With You. I encourage you to download Aubrey and, you know, listen to her music. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, delete the songs like I did 5 of them.
Oh my God. No, don't tell people that.
But if they're, yeah. Listen, you write from your heart, I speak from my heart. What if they have never heard this and they do download 7 or 8 of the songs?
No, that would be, no.
It's better than none.
If you listen to one song, I'm happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if you delete.
I'm just saying don't encourage it.
No, I'm just saying give everything a shot, and if you like 60% of it, that's a win.
Yes, it's definitely a win.
Oh, Aubrey. you write from your heart, I speak to my heart. And Liar Liar, I don't know if any radio people are listening to this. I would assume they do. They all say they don't, but they listen to everything. And then they all talk trash. They talk trash about me. It's
nice.
A whole thing.
Nice.
It's terrible. Probably because they go on and go, I hate radio people. That's probably why.
Yeah, and they're like, wow, I sure love you.
Yeah, I know, right? It's hard to expect to be loved by people. I love radio. But sometimes I feel like it holds itself back in our format. I feel like it holds itself back a little bit to change. I'd play Liar Liar if I were out there and you're listening right now. That's all I'm saying. So I'm glad you came in. It's cool to finally meet you.
Thank you so much.
Stalk your Instagram.
I hope I wasn't too boring.
Just kind of. Not terribly. I'm just playing. You feel good about everything?
Yeah.
Okay. So about your mom. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh, shut up. So we're doing another hour just about your mom.
Whatever. Whatever. What episode is this, Mike?
46.
Episode 46. You can follow Aubrey at Aubrey Sellers. AubreySellers. Aubrey Sellers. I respect how you make your music. I like your music. And just keep... You will. I'll tell you this. But just keep doing you, man.
Thank you so much.
Eventually, you catches up.
Thank you. And it means something. It really means something to me that you believe in it. Honestly. When you pick me for... You know, the thing this year, I was just like, even if it's just this guy.
Even if it's just Billy Jones.
Just the
yes.
Just the biggest DJ.
Even if it's, you know. But no, keep on keeping on. And if you ever need anything, hey, I'll let you come to my house. I'll let you come to my house.
Thank you.
Now I guess we let a lot more people.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, you what?
We probably had 30 people over, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm the only people I enjoy. Have we had anybody I didn't enjoy? Like, think about it. Is there anybody that's left? We have to say their name.
Are you going to say that when I leave?
No, but you know who I like? Because this is what happens. People come and I have no idea about them, right?
I'm scared.
Some of them leave, and because most of them I've met.
Yeah.
I try to stay out of circle, out of the Nashville circle, because then I like to be objective.
Yeah.
And I like to, if something sucks, I'm just cool with not having nothing to do with it. And I don't like to have to, you know, wank off people who I don't want to do. So. I don't know a lot of cool people, but I didn't know Brandon from Lanco at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and we talked, and I was like, I did not expect that from that dude. I liked him a lot. I didn't. Coming in, I was like, okay, I'm probably not going to like this dude.
Yeah.
He's too pretty. I was jealous. It was just my insecurities. It was my insecurity. Let me be honest with you. My insecurity is like, this guy's going to come in. But I really liked him. Mike, was there anybody that came in that we were just like, they kind of sucked?
I don't think so.
I can't either. I really love Natalie Hemby because she came in.
That's cool.
And do you know her at all?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of nervous. I was like...
To come in here?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, like, it's like an hour.
Oh, you know who came in that was cool? This guy, Evan Booker. John Oates from Hall & Oates.
Oh, you had him in? That's cool.
Like, 2 weeks ago?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nice.
He had so much money, and he had an airplane and stuff, and he ended up blowing all his money on, like, $5. That's the goal, to get so rich.
No, that's terrible.
No. Here's the goal. All right, I'm going to give you a new goal. I want you to get so rich that when you lose it all, it's a new story. That's how you know you made it. That when you're so rich that whenever you lose all of your money, it's a news story.
Oh my God.
You get it back because there's you have whatever talent you have that got you there. But the fact that you lost all your money, that's a news story. That means you made it.
That sounds stressful. I don't know about that.
All right. Give your band leader a raise. You probably need
If I ever make any money in the first place, it's we got to get there.
People don't realize a lot of new artists, if not most or all of them, lose money for a long time.
Yes.
Because you got to go out and it costs money to travel and to pay band members.
Yes.
And you're not getting paid very much.
True.
So it's tough.
All of this is true.
Yeah. It's a grind. Okay. Aubrey Sellers, thanks for coming and hanging out.
Thank you so much.
Good to get to know you. And then after you get a couple hits, we'll bring you back in and talk about how, man, the good old days when we used to talk about just grinding it out. All right, episode 46 is over. We'll see you next time here. Mike, are we good?
We're good.
Do you have anything or are you good?
We're good.
Okay, we're good. All right. Goodbye, everybody.